So, all right, hang on. Choose the intro mode is engaged. Hey, folks, loyal listeners, thanks for tuning in. This is Mike Lafferty of the BAMF Podcast, and today we have breaking news. Mr. Steve Kenson is online to talk to us about Icon's Great Power, the hugely successful Kickstarter. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
Thank you very much for joining us. We've also got regular co-host Walt Rebilliard. Hey, Walt.
Caffeinated and electrified. Let's do this.
Awesome. And we have Stacey Montgomery, a.k.a. Princess Stacey, from RPG.net joining us.
Hello. Although you were supposed to introduce me as Icon's biggest fan.
Please forgive me, Stacey.
You are forgiven.
And Dan Hauser was going to join us to talk about the great art he's doing for Icon's Great Power, but, you know, Dan's a very famous man with a lot of important things to do, and he just couldn't make it today, so...
Totally true. Regardless of the fact that he's going to have a lot of artwork to do.
Between this and Stark City, I don't know how Dan's sleeping between now and story.
I hear he's giving up on sleep anyway.
Dan's just, he's just 24-7 Jolt Cola and cigarettes just trying to knock it out, so, yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, hey, anyway, we might have some listeners, believe it or not, who don't know what Icon's Great Power is. So, Steve, could you illuminate?
Sure. Great Power is a superpowers source book for Icons. And it's one that I've been working on for a while now and finally launched a Kickstarter for today. Great Power is a little bit more ambitious than the couple of modules that I've put out for Icons through Ad Infinitum to date. And because of that, it needs a little bit more, of a kickstart in terms of being able to handle the upfront costs of producing it as a book. I thought Kickstarter, it was the perfect first Kickstarter project for Icons. And lo and behold, I was writer than I ever knew. Because the book blew through its starting fundraising goal in less than 8 hours. So it seems like it's the sort of thing folks are interested in seeing.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm jealous, but I've got a total of 124 backers on Stark City, and that took me 45 days. You've got 129 backers, and it took you, 9 hours?
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah, and you just broke $3,000. You're heading up on 3,100 right now,
yeah.
If we speak.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's really amazing. Cool. Tell us about Great Power. How is this changing Icons? Is it changing Icons?
Well, it's not going to be changing Icons all that much. It's much more adding to Icons. There's going to be a certain amount of rethinking, in the lights of, Icons has been out for over 2 years now. I've gotten plenty of feedback. I've run plenty of games. I've run into a number of things that I'm like, I could have probably done that better. there's definitely, looking at some of the powers from the game in that light. But for the most part, it's really just more rather than changing a lot of the stuff about Icons. It's more stunts, more powers, more power options, more ways of looking at powers, talking a lot about the idea of reskinning powers in the terms of, that a lot of times the power you're looking for is already there. It's just called something else, and you might not find it right away. So there are a lot of references in Great Power. If you're just flipping through the book alphabetically and looking for, say, the power to cause plagues or diseases, there's no specific disease power, but the affliction power with the right modifiers does the job just fine. And there's a reference under disease in the book to basically go look at the affliction power with these modifiers, and you're good to go. And the powers are all in alphabetical order. How's that? Because I discovered that putting them in the main rulebook according to power category makes them incredibly hard to find.
That's true.
And I wrote the book, and I can't find things, so...
I guess we should mention that anyone who pledges towards the Kickstarter gets to look at the current manuscript right off the bat.
Yeah, that's right. All the backers basically get immediate access to the playtest PDF, which is the complete book at the moment. I'm looking for people's feedback. I figure it's a great opportunity. You know, I've got the whole period of the Kickstarter for people to look stuff over and tell me what they think. So why not?
Now, with Kickstarter, you usually get certain expectations. As far as like stretch goals and anything like that, really haven't seen anything written up yet on the Kickstarter page. Do you have any plans for that?
Well, you know, I sadly did, you know, kind of ignore the Kickstarter advice of prepare for success and plan lots of stretch goals because I didn't. So I'm still working on that. You know, I was caught a little off guard by the need for stretch goals on the first day. So I'm still looking into what that's going to be. And I don't want to go crazy with the stretch goals because I don't want to promise the moon to people. You know, I definitely want to make Great Power an awesome book and for it to have all sorts of cool stuff. So a lot of it may be looking into stretch goals that I think are really going to improve the product rather than add a lot of extra things onto it. So it may honestly just be a matter of finding out about things like how much it'll cost to get the Icon's character generator updated to include all the Great Powers stuff in it and make that a worthwhile project, or to, you know, have some, you know, additional help on board as far as doing the production side of things. As a graphic designer, I'm a pretty good game designer, so I get by, but I'm not a pro.
Well, hey, we just had a question from the Icons Yahoo group.
Cool.
Chris Tavares was asking, let me open his, make sure I get his words right. So having broken down and pledged over lunch, I have a question I hope Mr. Kenson could address. Where and how should we be discussing the draft? It's limited to Kickstarter backers, but Kickstarter itself doesn't seem like a good forum for rules discussions. Do we send comments to Kickstarter, direct emails, on the list?
The playtest feedback goes to playtest@adinfinitum.com or adinfinitumadventures.com.
Okay. We'll need to have that in the show notes just so they know where it goes.
Mm-hmm. You know, if people are, you know, I know I asked people not to, you know, share the playtest document and all of that. If people really want to discuss the playtest version of the rules, they can do it on the Icons Yahoo group, or they could do it, you know, on a forum like RPGNet if they want to. I'm not looking for a tremendous amount of discussion about it. I'd like feedback. But, you know, to me, a lot of times playtest discussion, you know, is often not very productive. It has a tendency to turn into playtest arguments.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
I'll buy that.
You know, but if people want to talk about it on the Yahoo group or on their favorite forum, that's fine.
Okay, what was that? What was the email address again? Just one more time.
It's in the Kickstarter as well for the backers. But it's playtest at adinfinitumadventures.com.
And where exactly is it in Kickstarter? Because I'm there now.
It should be on the first update for backers.
Okay.
When are we going to see this as a finished product?
Well, the Kickstarter concludes in the beginning of January. So once I get Dan hard at work, I'm thinking that it should be a finished product probably in February.
Okay, so you'll come out while we're still doing the Stark City releases.
Yeah, very likely.
Awesome. All kinds of Icons goodness.
Yep.
2013 looks good.
Yeah.
It does look good. What comes after Great Power?
Well, that's a good question.
I only ask good questions. They don't pay me otherwise.
Yeah, they leave the crappy questions to me.
I've got a number of ideas and I'm going to start giving some thought to, since apparently there is indeed a market for more icon stuff. I've got ideas for a few adventures and for a couple of other source book type products. I have a thought about doing a book called, I'm tentatively calling Icons Atlas, which would probably be not a setting book per se, but a sort of a setting toolkit, if you like, that would be a little bit more like, for folks who remember the old Sprawl Sites source book for Shadowrun. You know, something along those lines that provides a lot of locales and maybe even, you know, neighborhoods. I don't know if it would go out that much, but, you know, different interesting places, essentially, that you could drop into your Icons game, whether it's the, you know, First National Bank and, you know, detailed Icons information about, you know, how to handle what happens when the local supervillains decide to knock it over, to you know, a particular version of a, you know, hidden lost valley full of dinosaurs. It would be very modular and, you know, very individual so that you could just take the pieces of it you like and, you know, run with them in your game, but not necessarily a whole setting, you know, like the sort of stuff I did with Freedom City or the like.
Okay, cool.
You know, you go so fast, I'm still writing down full of dinosaurs.
So,
God, it's full of dinosaurs.
Yes.
Yeah,
Much this could be the neighborhood that Spider-Man's swinging through, the Hydra base that Captain America has to infiltrate. So just things that if you need something on the fly, you can plug right in and go.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, so that kind of thing. You know, I've got tons of ideas for villains. So some kind of, you know, a villain product is a possibility. And there's always the possibility of taking great power one step forward and doing a new edition of Icons that polishes.
Well, now we're talking.
So.
Well, sweet. Cool. So what would you say is the biggest change, I mean, on a per-power basis in great power? Someone mentioned to me Wizardry was looking different. I, unfortunately, for a living, so I haven't had a chance to.
Oh, you've got to tell us about Wizardry. I'm serious. Now, see, I haven't looked at this thing yet. I'm suddenly getting nervous. Wizardry has changed. There's a tension's coming up the back of my throat. You got to tell me what's going on.
Now I'm going to actually have to check out what I wrote. I know that, you know, a couple of powers that were either in need of better explanation or in need of some modification got tweaked a little bit. For example, fast attack is slightly different in great power, so that it's not quite so potentially problematic as giving characters, you know, three or four actions every turn, which a number of people told me was difficult as far as their games went. So, and now I'm just waiting for my file to open.
I've already got mine open. If you want, I can read Wizardry to you.
There you go.
Wizardry, control group. You're capable of duplicating a wide range of powers using a power source like magic, technology, or cosmic power. See the cosmic power gadgets and magic powers. Choose one wizardry power or roll d6. And you have the chart for 1 to 2 is cosmic, 3 to 4 is gadgets, 5 to 6 is magic.
If there was ever an opportunity to put a random table in, I did.
Mm-hmm. So how is this different from Icons as it is, Icons Wizardry as it stands now?
I was going to say, the changes, as I recall, for something like Wizardry are pretty subtle. I think the key difference that you're going to find, part of it is that I broke Wizardry up into cosmic power gadgets and magic and made them a little bit more distinctive in their descriptions rather than lumping them together. You'll see that the description of wizardry basically just says, see those other powers,
mm-hmm.
Which allowed me to give them a little more individual character. The key thing you'll see about wizardry and a number of other powers in Great Power is that I eliminated across the board the 2x power thing,
mm-hmm.
Where this power counts double for your determination. And instead, I backfigured the powers so that they would all be at an even keel to start with. And then you bump them up with stunts. So you can do the same thing as the base version of wizardry that's in the Icons core book. It's just the base version in Great Power starts out at a slightly lower level that puts it on an even keel with all the other 1X, one determination powers.
Okay, so...
Hey, that sounds really good.
Yeah,
I don't want to play teacher's pet here, but that sounds really awesome.
Well, it simplifies something that didn't really need to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
So for example, magic starts out with a predetermined set of a list of powers you can duplicate. That assumes that you're basically a novice magician, that you're an initiate of the mystic arts. And it has specific limitations that it takes you a page of preparation to spell cast, and that you have this particular list that you're working with, and that all magic is spell-focused, so it has that specific limit that you have to speak and gesture to cast your spells. But then there are all these stunts that modify that. So there's, the instant stunt means you don't have to prepare, you just cast spells instantly.
Hey, is it my imagination, or have you moved Icons maybe just a little bit slightly in the direction of, say, the old Marvel Saga card game?
I could see some similarities there. You certainly, the magic...
And I mean that as a happy thing, because that sounds
yeah.
like teasing.
Certainly magic draws some inspiration from that.
Huh.
So you've got things like the mastery stunt, gives you a bigger list of magic powers that you can work from because you're now a master of the mystic arts, et cetera, et cetera.
That sounds really good.
So.
Sorry, I should be more critical, What do you say to those who say you've sold out? But God, I think it actually sounds really nice.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm sure there will be plenty of critical feedback as well. So for example, Fast Attack was another thing that we modified, whereby you can make more attacks on your page in the game, but you basically divide up your attack tests limited by your level in Fast Attack. So the example is a hero has prowess 4 and Fast Attack 8, so the character can make 3 level 4 attacks, one with normal prowess and 2 more with Fast Attack, dividing that level 8 in the power into 2 level 4 attacks, which is the limit because that's the character's prowess. So if the character had Fast Attack 6, he could make 2 extra attacks as well, but it would be 1 at 4 and 1 at 2, totaling up to his Fast Attack level of 6.
Cool. Hey, so this is supposed to be alphabetical order in the document, right?
Yeah, something out of alphabetical order.
Fast Attack is after Fire Control.
You're right. See, more playtest feedback already.
Woohoo! You're hearing the process as it goes, ladies.
Yes.
The sausage is being made in front of you.
Game development live and in color.
Hey, guys, I have a special announcement.
What's that?
Dan Houser might be gracing us with his presence.
Oof.
We're seeing if we can get him right now.
You're waiting with bated breath.
I think somebody probably paid his listening fee.
Dan Houser.
Hey. How's it going, guys?
Oh, my God. Dan Houser joins us there. But Dan Houser.
Welcome, hey. Dan Houser.
Hello, everyone.
You're so stunned at our good fortune.
Yes, I was out picking up what's called gripe water for my nephew with my brother. And then I got the news, and I was like, what? I came back, and yeah, it's stunning.
That sounds like some sort of festive holiday thing, gripe water.
It is for babies. It is a serious thing, apparently. My brother's deadly – it's called gripe water.
Wow.
It's for children who have, like, colic or something.
Mm. All right, then.
Dan, is that a code word for, like, whiskey?
That's adult gripe water.
Okay. Just like, well, hey, Dan.
Is this gonna be covered in the playtest? Because I'm writing as fast as I can, but I –
Gripewater, I don't know.
Oh, hey, Walt, you distribute alcohol to the northeast of America. Is Gripewater something you're familiar with?
Nope. I do not know about Gripewater, but I do know about Great Water, and that's what we call whiskey.
This is some colloquialism like crunk or purple drink.
Purple drink. No, I don't think they're giving my nephew purple drink.
Something Chris McLaughlin told me about on a podcast once. It's Jolly Ranchers and cough syrup.
Wow. That's horrifying.
That's foul.
That's the foul
well,
stuff right
maybe,
there.
Maybe they'll upgrade it to something more tasteful in an expansion.
Yes.
Now I want to write a villain called Purple Drink. That's Silver Age right there. So Dan.
He's a robot called Robotussin.
Dan Houser, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Houser.
Dan Houser, making us regret to have him here.
Dan, tell us about the art that you haven't done yet.
Art I haven't done yet for which? For Great Power?
For
yeah.
Actually, I've done. If you ask Steve, you can ask Steve now that it's official. I've actually done a couple pieces for Great Power.
He has, as a matter of fact.
Yep, and they look really good. In fact, if you saw, and this is a plug, if you got Christina of Corruption, you'll get an idea of what Great Power is going to look like. Actually, we've talked about the art style. We're going to modify it a little bit to make it separate from the original Adamant stuff, but in line with what I draw. And, it looks really good. And I've already been given a kind of an idea of what the outline is going to be for the art requirements, though that will change for all the stacking that we get. So, yeah, it's looking really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Dan.
Steve, actually... I think this opens up kind of an interesting question about the creative process, because sure. your icons line is so wedded to this artist's material. Aren't you worried that you're so reliant on a potentially unstable, he could just go mad at any time and...
Well, fortunately with Dan, I already know that Dan is mad, so I'm, don't have to worry about that eventuality since it's already happened. And, were it any mere mortal, I might be concerned, but Dan is an absolute art generating machine, that has either, clones of himself hidden away somewhere, or possibly the ability to rip his face off and reveal that he is some kind of cyborg art machine from the future. I've never had a problem. The least of my concerns with icons has been Dan. He's always been phenomenal about cranking out the artwork and amazing stuff at that.
It really is amazing.
Well, I'm very humbled, and thank you very much. But I will say this. As I told Steve, and when it was with Adamant, I told Steve and Gareth at the same time that their genius move was getting a guy who's already a Steve Henson fanboy to work on it. So I'm like, what's next? What's next? Ask Steve. I have been asking what's next since Villainomicon was finished. And I always ask what's next. So I can't wait to get more work done on Great Power. And, joy of joys, I'm on track to getting the entire first book done, the artwork stuff for the first book of Stark City, before the second week in December. So,
fantastic.
And we're no longer going to be giving out previews to a lot of people, because I want to keep something for the book, because we've kind of been showing off art as I get it finished. I love that, but I kind of want to keep some of the stuff as a surprise in the book.
Would someone like to say quickly what Stark City is? We might have new people listening into to this podcast.
Hey, Will, you've been quiet for a while. You want to take that one?
Absolutely. So let's just say you have a group of heroes in need of a battleground with which to protect, preserve, and promote their superheroic deeds. Well, that would be Stark City at its finest, a collection of locales to put your heroes in and to detail their many superpowered deeds. By the way, that'll be $19.95 for that little thing, so just, you know, PayPal is fine.
Man, Wallace should be doing commercials for radio, shouldn't he?
No doubt. Or should be homeless and then get to work for the Cavaliers, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's right, I'm a soldier. I'm frequently homeless, so it all depends on what time of year you're talking about.
Mm.
I wish I followed sports and knew what the hell you guys were talking about.
don't look at me. I only get paid by appearing in the playtest credits of games, which is pretty thin gruel, as you can imagine.
Yes, that's how I used to make my living.
That's hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now speaking of paying it backwards and forwards, with great power coming out, how is that going to relate to something like the Skeletron Key or previous releases that that are out there? Is this going to change them at all? Is there going to be a lot of work to do to keep them current?
It's really not. You know, the game great power doesn't really change things that significantly, especially in terms of what things look like on the character sheet. There may be a few different interpretations, like I was talking about, you know, with things like fast attack, and you can just take the existing, you know, numbers and run with them as far as that goes. And there are a few slight tweaks in terminology that at some point might be worth updating, but it's not so significant that all of the previous Icons products are going to be really need any updating as far as that goes. It's one of those things that at some point, if I were to, you know, re-release, or, you know, do a compilation or eventually want to, you know, polish up, update, the past catalog, you know, that would be a back burner project, but, you know, it wouldn't be of any concern.
So with great power coming out, you could still throw like Skeletron at a bunch of heroes, and he would just be as dangerous as...
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
This isn't going to say slow down Stark City production that much then, because you're saying it's kind of a minor conversion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really super minor.
Okay. So we could say shoot you some stat blocks for the first Stark City book, say, in an hour or so, and you could say, oh, this... Hypothetically speaking,
you could. And hypothetically speaking, I might even get to them at some point.
Yep. And hypothetically speaking, from what I understand, and this is just based on conversations with Steve, that it's more additive than it is like pulling something out and changing it.
It is. It is.
So it's just stuff you can add to those modules to make them more deadly for the characters, mm-hmm. or add stuff to the characters and make them more showy for it.
Yeah.
You'll
certainly find a lot of resources in far as, you know, new ideas for stunts for a lot of the existing characters.
Okay. Now, I hate to say this because I'm a publisher who has a series called Justice Wheels, which is all about vehicles, but it looks like you've addressed the vehicles question in Power pretty definitively.
Well, you know, I guess as definitively as anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, there is an expanded devices section in Great Power. It's you know, when I use the term expanded, you know, I'm talking about Icons level of expansion. So the, you know, vehicles information in Great Power is about a page and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a chapter or anything like that. Likewise, I think the whole devices section in Great Power is, you know, maybe 8 or 10 pages, maybe even break a dozen. You know, it's not Icons is not a heavy detail system. It's deliberately, you know, kept relatively light. So I tried to stick with that with great power. So in spite of the fact that great power has a lot of information in it, it's not massive numbers of subsystems or new material that people have to keep a lot of track of. You know, as far as it's the vehicle stuff is very similar to a lot of the ideas in Justice Wheels as well, in the sense that vehicles basically have their own traits, and there's some discussion about how characters interact with them. But beyond that, again, it's not a super detailed vehicles system. It's not for gearheads who are looking to, you know, customize vehicles based on, you know, what kind of engine they have or what kind of material they're made out of, per se.
Okay. Do you have rules for building vehicles in there?
I have rules for assigning stats to vehicles and knowing if your character has a vehicle, what kind of stats it can have.
Okay. That's probably controlled by your rank and devices, I'm guessing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, unfortunately, like I said, I work for a living and I haven't had a chance to read the document yet. But,
yep, I hear you.
Yeah, cool.
You know, okay. And we'll see, you know, where things go in terms of, you know, the playtest feedback. If there's, you know, an absolute outcry for, you know, more information in a particular area, I'll try and provide it. But, you know, I also want to remain fairly true to the vision of the game as well.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. All right. Well, you know, I love to talk. I'm just wondering if we could... Please go ahead.
There was just an email sent to me from Steve, and I'd like to answer the question here while people can hear it. Steve asked me, what would the limit be on backers getting characters? I noticed that thing kind of sold out rather quickly.
Indeed.
So my goal is to be... having the decks cleared for nothing but icons for the beginning of next year, so I'm open. It depends on what was the limit already, Steve. What did we sell out at?
We started with 12, I believe.
I think 25 is fine.
Okay.
Like, I could get 25 characters into the book and still get iconics in there and make sure that everything is represented from the actual universe, plus the new iconics who are going to be on the cover, which maybe we'll show a peek. I don't know. Or maybe we'll release them as we hit stretch goals. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so what kind of iconics are we going to see from last time?
Oh, man. Can I get a hint?
Wow.
I love these pictures. Can I get a hint?
Sure.
Okay, a hint is
I think he's
going
to blow.
Casino of Corruption has one of the new iconics on the cover.
Yes, it does.
And if icons was sort of... like the Justice League, and then Villainomicon had kind of the Legion of Doom. This would be now the ancillary stories to like the primary source. So think like Strange Tales, Weird Fantasy, and things like that. Like you're getting into the not second level characters, like definitely iconic characters, but different realms of character expansion. So he's not, one of them is on the cover, and I'm sure you'll recognize him as not being Hangman. So. So you'll know that that's the character.
Hangman.
Well, hey, I want to ask you. Someone was asking on one of the forums who the guys are on the cover, because we recognize the Mighty Suoharo, but the other three characters on the cover, Great Power, we don't know who they are. Dan, can you guys tell us, or is that still privileged information?
Well, I can tell you who the guys on the cover are. Obviously, Dr. Zodiac is the big looming guy in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And the heroes on the cover, from left to right, are Dr. Weird, Lou, the Lord of Light, and Sekhmet. We know that Dr. Weird is a sorcerer and rune magician. It's W-Y-R-D. And we know that Lu is the Celtic god of light.
That's probably spelled L-O-U-G-H?
L-U-G-H.
Okay.
Sekhmet is the wielder of the ancient mystic artifacts belonging to the Egyptian goddess of the same name.
Okay.
So...
Cool. Well, I'll mention that, make a point to mention that in the on the RPG Now discussion then. So awesome. Sweet.
And we've got plenty of other ideas for characters and alike.
Okay. So, all right, well, cool. Walt, Stacy, either one of you guys have any more questions?
Stacy?
No. I think that's the stuff everyone wants to know. I think the real question is to sit back a little bit and see see how far this Kickstarter goes. Is raising kind of a lot of money, I think. It's exciting for me because what I was wondering is there any chance that next year will be Icon's big year? And I'm starting to think that it is.
Well, you know, if the Kickstarter is any indication, and it's, you know, not to be crass about it, but, you know, if it's Icons is something that Dan and I can make a living at, then sure, absolutely. I would love to do more Icons. I would love to have Dan, I'd love to pay Dan to do more Icons art. So if as long as Icons proves, you know, a viable, you know, product, then I'd love to continue doing it. I do this, you know, stuff for a living. So, you know, if I can find it an opportunity to do what I really, a project that I really like to do, then, you know, I can also, you know, justify, because it's, you know, making money, then that's a win-win. I would in many ways be doing Icons regardless, and that's largely true. I mean, I designed Great Power completely on spec, having no idea whether Icons was even going to be a viable thing anymore. And I'm thrilled, you know, beyond belief to know that it is. So, you know, I'd be doing Icon stuff pretty much regardless, but I'm glad that there's, you know, really the potential for me to be doing more of it realistically.
And when we feel see the Icons way? Comics.
That's a whole different area of publishing, really, yeah. You know.
Just promise us that when you do the movie tie-in, that it'll be an animated movie, so that we can keep the feel of the artwork and not have it ruined by
absolutely
by Hollywood actors.
Yeah, no, Mutants and Masterminds might be able to pull off a live action movie, but there's no way Icons could. Icons has to be animated.
Okay. So, oh man, and I know, and I have already voice actors in mind.
See?
For like Saguaro. Oh,
okay. So is Fajardo going to be Patrick Warburton or Michael Chiklis?
Michael Chiklis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Hangman.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty much...
yeah, who's the Hangman?
I would think Chris Pine after watching Rise of the Guardians.
Mm.
He does a good voice. He's got a really good gravelly, but he's also got a really good, like, serious voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so where do any of us audition?
Walt, you can be Spider Fridge.
Awesome.
Nice.
That's a coveted role, my friend. Okay?
It's true.
There's going to be a fist fight over that one.
There aren't a lot of lines, mind you, but...
Yes, but you can see that in... Actually, you can't see, but that's a sucky part about Team Up not coming out. There is a picture of Spider Fridge assisting Sahuaro in catching the downsizer.
Oh, yes.
Explain that. I want to appear in the movie as a playtester, so I would just sort of pop up like Mystery Science Theater 3000 style and say, I want to start the scene over because it didn't really work.
It doesn't quite work for me.
Yeah, but if we could, what if he rolled better?
how about you just say, well, that's clearly that he's spending the determination now. But,
oh, absolutely! I could fill in some of that.
Well, Stacy would have a much larger role in the DVD commentaries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there Fair you enough. Go.
Someone has to do that.
I bet you we could push this through Machinima. They're releasing like Halo and all sorts of great stuff. So yeah, we could get this going.
I could point out. You see where they've drawn little ribbons on the air conditioner? That's cinematic style. That's so you know that the air conditioner's on.
Well, what is this thing you're talking about? Machinima?
Machinima, yeah. It started off as a video game commentaries website with just a bunch of guys, and now they're actually getting major studios to produce direct-to-YouTube big feature releases. So,
okay. Yeah, I never knew you pronounce it that way. Okay, machinima.com, that one.
Yep. So, like, they just released, they're teaming up right now with the Sci-Fi Channel, and they just did Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome.
Oh, Blood and Chrome, yeah.
Did they do Blood and Chrome, really?
Yeah, they're also doing, they also just did a great web series with, as a prequel to the Halo 4 video game, which was, I was very surprised. I wasn't expecting much, but it was very well done, very well acted, and the behind the scenes that they would put out weekly in between the actual episodes were really good. So
I've heard of those Halo things. Those are diceless.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are diceless.
Yeah, exactly. Diceless multiplayer games.
It's a little outside of my thing, but I'm told they're pretty good.
That's pretty much my level of experience as well.
I wish I could say the same, but no, I'm addicted to video games. Oh, speaking of addicted to video games, and I know this is kind of a cheap plug, but Dip Switch is back too. Now that my workload is lightened and my sense of humor is coming back.
And how has your workload lightened?
Right. Yeah, I was waiting for that explanation.
It actually has.
That's the vodka and Red Bull talking.
No, Bulletproof Blues is now the artwork for that. The work has lessened quite a bit. I'm doing work for Avalon Games now, which is some character and design work for their sci-fi stuff, which is going to be really cool. But it's got kind of a further out end date. And Dave Martin, who did RAR, the RPG, he's got another project in the works for the same IP, but he hasn't been able to come on and talk about it yet. But when he comes on, he will go off on it, and we will have a great time. Mike, I'll get with you later to get him on here to talk about that. But there's a couple different things in the works for them. But again, that work is wrapping up now, and shortly that'll be all finished. So all that I'll have on my plate is Stark City and Icons coming up.
Awesome.
Right. So I'm like, talent is a curse, is what you're telling us.
What's that?
Talent is a curse.
No. not understanding what cheap is in our industry is a curse. Like, I didn't know what inexpensive was for people, so I said I want to be inexpensive, and I didn't know that I was like opening up the Costco of art. Oh yeah, we could use 1,200 pictures at that price. Really? Oh sure. So my mortgage is paid, but now that's 1,200 pictures. That's a lot of pictures.
Yes, it is.
I have steady work rather than oh my god, look at the mountain of work I have to do.
Yes. Well, it helps when you've adjusted your rate somewhere closer to what you were worth.
Yes, that's true. Yes, I have to say that Steve and James Dawsey and Jack Norris and Chris McLaughlin and Chris Primus and pretty much everybody at Green Ronin was like, yeah, you should be charging more. And I said, oh, okay. I should probably do that. And yeah. I learned the debacle at Gen Con this year when I started drawing ponies. That was a bad move.
Yes.
Wasn't that an issue of Cerebus the Aardvark? I think I read that long ago.
It was just don't tell people that you'll draw them something that people love, because then they'll love to make you draw it a lot.
Right. It wasn't that you were drawing ponies, Dan. It was you were drawing ponies cheap.
Yeah. And really, like, I thought the price was, well, I guess somebody would have this hanging around in their wallet and they might want to throw it away on something other than lunch. You know?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I once approached a guy who does a lot of convention drawings for RPG work, and I was like, hey, I need a couple character sketches. How much do you do per character? And he was like, oh, $75 each. I'm like, well, I'm a small press PDF guy, and, you know, just so you know what the RPG business is like, there's maybe 12 guys in this business who aren't hobbyists. And there's a couple guys who are pros who are really hobbyists and don't realize it. So I'm not going to name any names, but $75 might be the entire profit I'm making on an adventure. So I can't do that. You know, it's nice, it's great. I'm sure someone in Anime Alley will pay you that, but
yeah,
you know, I'm just
again, yeah. If I were, I will say that my philosophy has always been for the love of the game. Like I do love gaming, and I love the fact that we have an industry. And I'm willing to adjust my prices for that. But now I realize that there now is a margin. like I don't have to be so nice. I can be nice, and believe me, I'm still nice. But I don't have to be so nice that I give them the pearl-handed razor to cut my throat. I just, I clean out a little bit more than I should.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Fame has not ruined Dan Howden. No, the rumors you've read on the internet are wrong.
Yes.
You can't trust a tabloid.
That's right. Kristen Stewart is not reptilian, and I am not her boyfriend. Thank you.
One of these things is not true.
So, should I ask
that
about Team Up?
Of a space harlot. What?
No.
Should you ask about Team Up? Sure. Would you like an answer that we can give you that doesn't resound with, I don't know?
No.
Because
yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I only know what Gareth says, and Gareth said 2 weeks ago that he'd be done in a week. And that's
okay.
What I know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I tell you what, you know, before someone else has a chance to go off, and I understand it's possible, let us...
All of you, with your faces melting, stop melting faces.
Let's focus on the positive. Great power. If you pledge even a dollar right now, you can see the playtest document. It's 110 pages of Icon awesomeness. And check it out right now. It's amazing.
Thank you.
So, anybody else have anything we want to talk about? Walt?
I think you guys hit all my stuff. Looking right. Good so far.
Stacey?
No, I am happy, content, and satisfied.
Mr. Hauser?
I will mention to everyone who is an Icons fan who has stuck with it, thank you so much for showing that you still love Icons, which is awesome. That really made my day more than anything else. Second, I have to contact everyone who got a slot in Hero Pack 4. I don't want this to be redundant to what everyone's purchasing in the book, because your characters will appear in the book, and then I'll give you a character image of your design. But Hero Pack 4, I'm going to do something for those folks who stuck with us even in that dark period of time when we didn't have a team-up book coming out for a long time. I'm going to change the art for Hero Pack 4 to reflect the new art. Rather than the old style, I'll just upgrade everybody's art to the new stuff. That means it's going to come out later than I expected, which will be instead of the first week of January, probably somewhere in February or March, but it'll get done, and then that'll be in addition to, and I'll even add something to it to make it better for everyone who waited, and just to say thanks, everyone who threw in.
Dan is a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
It does make more work for me, but again, it's worth it to make sure.
But that's Dan's thing, making more work for himself.
And thank God that someone's going to do it.
That's right. I'm doing my best.
Yes.
Steve.
I just wanted to, echo what Dan had to say and say that, you know, I'm really blown away by, you know, everybody's response to the Great Power Kickstarter. And it's awesome that, you know, people are so excited about it. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to moving ahead with the book and getting it out there and you know, looking forward to, you know, the next Icons projects on the horizon. So.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, hey, appreciate everybody for joining us. And until next time, folks, make mine BAMF. And that's a terrible sign-off. I'm sorry, but it's all I have. You understand?
I know.
How about free?
Somebody else owns the one I created. For Christ's sake.
Well, Dan, I appreciate it. It's just BAMF is a bad name. It's not your fault. It's just, you know, it's the best we can do with what we have.
Oh, I know. Man, trust me, man. It's hard to do something good with BAMF.
I'll talk to my people. We'll work on it.
Hang loose.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time here on the BAMF podcast. And we're out.